Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions along the way. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living, so that I can become a reflection of God's love to a world that obviously don't know God and definitely is in deep need of more love, don't you think? I mean, take a look around, my friend. There's a lot of bad news bears out there. How can I take the good news of Jesus Christ as he presents himself in the Gospels and apply it into my daily living so that I can become a light in this present darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God making present his kingdom, not someday in some wishful thinking kind of way, but today and every day, and that's what this show's all about. And I'm so glad you could join us today. Oh, we got a good one. What do you say? We quiet our minds, put ourselves in the presence of God. God's got a lesson for you today. Are you ready to hear it? We are hearing from the Gospel of John. The Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and his mother? Then how can he say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered and said to them, stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall be taught by God. Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, for the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The gospel of the Lord, and what a gospel it is. This is Daily Living on Father Chapin. You stick around, we'll be right back. We're going to talk about this gospel and a few other things here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living, and together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. So today we've got a gospel, and well, it's big. I mean, a real turning point. If you were with us last week, you would recall that Jesus had said, do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures for eternal life, which of course went right past them. They did not understand. And today he's picking up on that theme to reveal exactly what that food is. As he says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. And like I said, this is big, but what does it really mean? How is bread living? And for that matter, how is Jesus bread? Well, as you know, here at Daily Living, we're all about finding the deeper meanings of Scripture. And while some days are easier than others, today we got our work cut out for us. So let's go. Where to start? Well, let me stick with what I know, which as a Catholic priest would, of course, be the Catholic Church. As Catholics, we celebrate what we call the Eucharist at every Mass. The liturgy of the Eucharist is modeled after the Last Supper that Jesus celebrated with his disciples the night before he was crucified and died on a cross for you and I. Now, as Catholics, we believe in what is known as real presence. So what that means is that we believe that the Eucharist, which we celebrate at every Mass, is not a symbol of Jesus, but actually is the body and blood of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus said, this is my body, this is my blood, and we take him at his word. So we believe that during the consecration of the Mass, or what is known as the confection of the Eucharist, the bread becomes the actual body of Jesus, and the wine becomes his actual blood. Now, of course, it doesn't look like flesh, it doesn't taste like blood, because we believe that it is Jesus under the appearance of bread and wine. The $10 word here is transubstantiation. First coined by St. Thomas Aquinas, it describes how the accidents remain the same while the substance changes. So the bread retains its breadiness and the wine retains its wininess, but it is in fact Jesus. Why? Because he said, this is my body, this is my blood. Now, I imagine that most Christian churches have some type of Eucharist, or at least are familiar with the concept, because it's one of the many ways that we attempt to draw closer to God, to cross that void, that emptiness that we all feel. Because you see, we all have this void, and it comes from a common yearning for God. It's a desire that we're born with, or as the great Saint Augustine put it, we were created by God, we were created for God, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. So since God created us with eternity in mind, we have a desire for eternity in our hearts. And this desire, which is in all of us, it's universal, creates an emptiness, or what some people call the God-shaped hole. Why? Well, because we're spiritual beings having a temporary material experience, and this is not our home. So this emptiness that's inside of you and me, it's universal, has profound effects. And one of those unfortunate effects that many of us have from this emptiness is that we attempt to fill the God-shaped hole with a whole lot of things that have nothing to do with God. In fact, are often contrary to God, giving rise to the isms of life, like, say, workaholism, alcoholism, hobbyaholism, sexaholism, Facebookaholism, and it goes on and on and on. So, like I said, we all have this sense of emptiness because while we're here on earth, we're not home and we are not complete. Now, there's this mistaken idea that it's God's job to complete us, which, of course, is ridiculous. I mean, it's completely backwards because God has already chosen us. We are privileged by his grace to become a part of him as we cooperate with his kingdom work. So with all that said, and that's a lot said, but with all that said, let's talk about our gospel today. We are in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John. It is referred to as the Bread of Life Discourse. And we're continuing the theme that we were talking all about last week. Remember when Jesus said, do not work for food that perishes, but rather food that endures for eternal life. And like I said, they didn't get it at all. Why? Because they were still hung up on the food. You know, they had just come off the feeding of the 5,000. And they were thinking, you know, do that fish and bread thing again. But Jesus was trying to get them to look beyond what they thought they needed. Jesus is trying to get them to look beyond their perceived temporal needs. Do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him the Father God has set his seal. I mean, that's what he said. But like I said, they were all hung up on that food thing. They wanted him to do that again. They wanted Jesus to take care of what they thought they needed. They wanted Jesus to fill their God-shaped hole. And Jesus, in the meantime, would say, hey, I got something that will not only fill your God-shaped hole, it will completely eliminate that emptiness and create something completely new. So, as I said, our gospel today is starting to get very specific about how that happens and exactly what it is to work for food that endures for eternal life. As he says, I am the bread come down from heaven. And how do the people react? They murmur. I love that word, murmur. Onomatopoeia, a word that makes the sound of its meaning, murmur. So they're confused. They don't know what to do. Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and his mother? How can he say that he's come down from heaven? Which I gotta say, reminds me a whole lot of the rejection that Jesus suffered when he returned to his hometown of Nazareth not too long ago. Remember that? Isn't he the carpenter? Isn't he the son of Mary? And they totally missed it. Why? Because of what they thought they already knew. Sadly, this continues today. With so many of us, we get so lost in what we think we already know. I'm the bread of life come down from heaven. How could they even begin to believe that? How can we even begin to believe this? Well, fortunately for us, we don't have to look too far for that answer because Jesus tells us. He says, stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him. And I will raise him on the last day. It is written to the prophets, they shall be taught by God. Now, that last verse, you know, they shall be taught by God, they would have all definitely known that one because that comes straight out of the 54th chapter of Isaiah. They shall be taught by God. What does it look like to be taught by God? Well, to answer that question, you can turn to my favorite chapter in all of the Bible, which, of course, is the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. You should read it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, the Spirit of Truth, which the world cannot accept because it neither sees nor knows it. But you know it because it remains with you, and it will be in you. Now, of course, this is a direct reference to Pentecost that's coming. And the Holy Spirit that resides in you and I today. It is through this Holy Spirit that we are taught. And this is what it means to be taught by God. And what are we taught? I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Now, of course, growing up in Christianity, going to church, We've come to accept these words. We've heard them before. They're part of our dogma. It's very easy for us 2,000 years later to look back and lose how shocking these words really were when first spoken. But they were, my friend. They were. I mean, imagine somebody would say this. I can only imagine the moment these words left his lips. Everybody turned to each other and said, excuse me? What did he say? Did I hear what I think I just heard? This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. And we will continue to talk about this amazing gospel that comes to us here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, just for the break, we have Jesus, he's addressing the crowds, and he's just said something totally shocking. I mean, I would have loved to have been there that day. I mean, this must have really knocked them back a bit. Did he just say what I think he said? I'm the living bread come down from heaven? I mean, excuse me? But then, and Jesus has this habit. When he says something pretty challenging, pretty shocking, he doesn't like come back, try to, you know, walk it back, as they say. Oh, it's just being metaphorical. No. He doubles down. He says, whoever eats this bread will live forever. Now, the Greek word that is used here for eat is sarx, which is a very graphic word. It describes a gnawing, a chewing, a devouring, like a vulture devouring a carcass. For the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. I mean, this is not subtle stuff. This is not a clean wafer being laid on the tongue. That's not what they're hearing. No. What they're hearing is nothing short of cannibalism. I mean, can you imagine that? Let's just try to put ourselves into the scene. What would you have done? What would I have done? I mean, because let me tell you, a lot of people just left. I'm talking about people that have been following Jesus for a long time. I mean, they were down with Jesus. He was the man. Okay, but this? No, I don't think so. Later on, we will read, this teaching is too hard. So like I said, a lot of them left. But Peter and the other apostles, they didn't leave. They stayed, even though they didn't understand it. Even though they might not have really liked it too much. Even though if they were God, they probably would have done it differently. But they stayed. Why? Because they had just been through too much. They had seen too much. And there were too many signs. And they had history. And through that history, they trusted him. Even though they didn't necessarily understand him, they trusted him. What about you? What about me? Do we trust Jesus? Do we trust Jesus even when we don't really understand what he's up to in our lives? Even though if we were God, we'd probably do it differently. I mean, when we don't fully understand what he's doing, do we trust him? I mean, at what point in our lives did we come to a place that unless we fully understand what God's up to, we're not going to accept his will for our lives? At what point? Even though we accept things that we don't fully understand all the time in this life. I mean, consider the cell phone. I don't understand how that thing works. I mean, I'm just talking about just a basic phone call. Forget all the other stuff. How is it that my cell phone can ring and I can pick it up and not only hear a voice, but actually recognize the voice of somebody that I know that is talking to me? How is it that somebody's voice flies through the air, bounces off a tower, and goes into my ear? I don't know. I don't understand that. But does that mean when my cell phone rings, I'm not going to pick it up because I don't understand how it works? Of course not. I'll pick it up. Why? Because the last time it rang and I picked it up, there was a voice on there of somebody that I knew that was talking to me. So I got a history with my cell phone. I got evidence with my cell phone. And so I have trust in my cell phone. You know, as a priest, I often have people come to me, you know, with issues, with problems. Maybe it's a relationship issue. Maybe it's a work issue or a thousand of other things. And the fact that they come to me would seem to imply that they trust in me. They trust that maybe I might be able to give them some sound advice. But you know what I found through the years? Is that if the advice that I give them is something that they don't want to hear, well, then the great debate starts. Well, what about this? What about that? And soon it becomes pretty apparent that they don't really trust me at all. Why? Because it isn't what they think they should do. So in the end, they're not really looking for advice, but rather an accomplice to what they already really want to do anyway, which doesn't upset me. This is just human nature. But when it comes to Jesus, the same holds true. Because we love Jesus, we follow Jesus, we'll do whatever he says, okay, until we don't agree with what he says. Why? because we might believe in Jesus, but we have a real hard time trusting in Jesus. Even though we can look back on our lives and see his fingerprints all over many, many situations where it could have gone the other way, he saved us. It's there, evidence. But when we look one day ahead, blackness, despair. Now, I say all of that to say this. This crowd today, they didn't trust Jesus. They trusted him as long as they agreed with him, but they don't trust him now, despite the signs. They don't trust him because they don't understand. And so since they don't understand, they are out of here, right? Which continues today. Many of us grew up hearing the good news. We felt an attraction to the word. But then the moment it started to cost something, the moment it started to require an investment, the moment we started to hear something maybe we didn't like, the moment that we realized we might have to give up something that we think is going to make us happy, we too, out of there. Why? Because we have bought into the notion of cafeteria Christianity. You know, take what you want, leave the rest. They will be taught by God. How? Holy Spirit. And how do I get the Holy Spirit? If you keep my commandments, I will ask the Father, and he will send you the Spirit of truth. So the Spirit is tied with obedience, which is not really a word that we like. Keeping his commandments is the doorway. The only way you're going to keep his commandments is if you know what his commandments are. And the only way you're going to know what his commandments are is if you read his word. Listen to the quiet voice. Follow his commandments. We are not called to be hearers of the word, my friend. We are called to be doers of the word. And when you fail, and you will, because you're a weak sinner, we all are, repent and get back on the Holy Spirit horse and try again. So here's the question. If Jesus is the living bread come down from heaven, which he is, if that's true, and it's true that the bread that he gives is his flesh for the life of the world, which is true, how do we eat his flesh and drink his blood? Well, I guess the obvious answer, you would come to church and receive Holy Communion. But is that it? Is that all we got to do? I don't think so. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a very important part. It's critical. But let us never forget that Jesus says, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. And remember that. That word abide, that's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing thing. It is a lifetime of relationship. So the real question is that after you receive communion, after you receive his body and his blood, and you walk out of church, do you abide? Do you have a conscious contact with Jesus throughout your day? Do you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you in your life? I mean, I think that's the deeper meaning here. Sure, we believe that Jesus is the bread of life. And as Catholics, we believe that he makes himself present in the Eucharist. So we consume him. We take him into ourselves. He becomes a part of us. But do we abide? That's the question. Do we allow him to direct our path? That's the question. Do we allow him to illuminate our minds, renew our spirit? Are we paying attention to what he's trying to teach us? That's what it means to be taught by God. Do we allow Jesus to transform our lives, to configure ourselves closer to him? That's what it all comes down to. What does it look like to be in truth and to abide in God? What does a Christian look like? Well, have you ever been to one of those fairs and you seen those boards that got the muscle man one board and then the bikini-clad woman in the other board, and they got the hole where the head is, and you stick your head in the hole and you take a picture, and it's funny. It's funny. Why is it funny? Because the head don't fit the body. But what if somebody was to take a picture of Christ's head and then put it over your body in your everyday daily living? Would it fit? Would the world laugh at the misfit? Or would it stand in awe of a human body so closely related to the divine head? That's the question, my friend. What about you? My friends, I guess it all comes down to this question. If you are dragged into court today and accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? You can say you're a disciple of Christ, but are you feeding on Christ? Are you abiding with Christ? Do you look like a disciple of Christ to this world? I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give you is my flesh for the life of the world. Oh Lord Jesus, come. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us you. Let us open our hearts and allow you to abide with us today and throughout all our days. Let us open our hearts so that you can guide us, not only through our world today, but ultimately bring us home. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is B1. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.